Hello. Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Hello. We're Spit in Your Ear Music Collective, and we're here today.
Welcome we're here. To Spit.
Welcome to Spit. Do you want to make the noise?
Uh-oh.
No?
That was Lana's job. Lana's been...
You know no,
what if
that's
we did
not...
a YouTube sound effect?
Oh, we could do that. That might be better.
It's going to be really silly, because it'll be like
it's definitely
a
better than
video,
what I'm thinking of.
Two-second video with a six-second ad. Thank you, YouTube.
Oh, that's awesome. Exactly. Okay. Spit in your ear. Music Collective, we're here today. And we're gonna play three interviews for you. Because we went to, like, Oshiega and stuff.
Yeah. That was amazing.
It was fun.
Really fun. Very hot. Very humid.
Very hot.
Yeah.
It made me think a lot about the price of concert tickets to see like one artist, the fact that I got to see that many, so many big names for that ticket price, which is really wild. And like every time I look at it now, I just, every artist, I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
So I want to go to more music festivals now.
Yeah, it's like cheaper, but at what cost? Heat.
Oh,
and, a lot of things.
Yeah, heat. Yeah,
heat exhaustion.
A lot of people.
Yeah.
Sweat.
Sun.
Water cannons pouring water on you in the crowd.
Oh my god, thunderstorms. Remember when they like shut the sets because there was like lightning?
Oh yeah, so they
Mariah the Scientist. Was it after
Ray.
Her set?
No, I think it was right before Kevin Abstract was coming on, right?
Yeah, that
and
was
Ray
when Mariah the Scientist was on.
Yeah, yeah.
And
oh,
Ray
yeah.
And had already and started. Like, she was singing, and then they cut her set. They were like, okay, bye.
Oh, it was Amel and... Or is it Amy and the Sniffers?
Amel and the Sniffers, I
follow
think.
Her on Instagram, and her name's Amy.
It's Amel, the band. Mm. I don't know why.
Amel and the Sniffers.
Because it's Amel Nitrate.
Amel and the Sniffers.
Oh.
That makes sense.
Oh, that makes a lot
of
sense.
That makes so much sense, actually.
Thank you for putting sense into that.
But she was really fun.
Yeah, she was really fun.
And she got kicked off.
Yeah, and then they came back on. There was the little thunderstorm scare.
And there was a big thing of rain. What is it called? The weather formation where it's like the little like thing that travels. And we were on watch for it.
Oh, like the thunderstorm watch?
No, it starts with an S.
Like, oh, the squall line watch.
Yes.
Yeah, that was we like
and then
barely
we got hit
missed
by it.
It. Yeah.
When during before Kevin Abstract, when we got that like really heavy rain for a little bit.
Yeah, we were front row and we had to make do.
We made do.
Country girls. Yeah, we got lots of stuff to play. Where are we today even? Where
you
are
tell
we?
Me.
We're on the unceded territory of the Musqueam people in the place colonially known as Vancouver on the UBC campus.
Word up.
Word.
Free Palestine.
Free Palestine.
Free Commonwealth.
Or I'll spit on you.
Or I will
you
spit.
You won't like it.
Yes, exactly. We interviewed three people. I think we said we were going to interview Billie Ann.
And No Waves and Miss Milano.
Exactly. So we're gonna go through, but we're gonna play a song from each of them first, just to get you familiar.
Yes.
Familiarized again. Yes. So Billie Ann has a new song called Crush. So I figured we play.
Yeah.
Crush.
Yeah, you'll hear more about it during the interview.
Yeah, we
actually
were talking about it before it released.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
How long are the interviews?
Depends.
I think the Billie Ann one's a little shorter, and then the Miss Milano one's kind of long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had a lot to share with us, which was amazing.
Yeah, there's some really great conversations we had, so yeah. But enjoy
Crush by Billie Ann.
Exactly. Goodbye. Wanna bathe in you. I want a simple distraction. Who's got all the time in the world and a crooked smile that's cute? Someone who can bring me closer to the boiling over. Be my muse, be my true obsession. Without you, I'm just learning lessons. Deja vu, be that one exception. Nothing to lose. So come on and we can be my
Rush into my teeth like a strawberry. So be my baby, make you dream. Take me to the river that I've never seen. Oh, fantasy, candy sweet. Rush into my teeth like a strawberry. So be my baby, make you dream. Come on and leak, give me more than a crush.
This is
Billy Ann.
We're at Oshiega. This is
Billy Ann.
We're here with Billy Ann, and I'm here also with
Yasna.
And we're here to ask a few questions. We're from CITR 101.9, the radio station at UBC, so in Vancouver.
Oh, cool.
From Vancouver, yeah. Yeah.
Would you like to tell us and our audience a little bit about yourself, about your musical journey, and like how, where you started, how you got here?
Yeah, so I was always doing music, and I started getting more into it in high school. I was joining like funk bands and a cappella groups, and also I was playing trombone for a bit, which is kind of funny. I can't read music anymore, really, but I did learn a little bit about it then. But then COVID kind of hit, and I started posting a lot more online on TikTok. And there was this one cover I did of Simply the Best. It's a cover from, in the style of the show, Schitt's Creek, that Noah Reed does it. And so I did that, and it went viral, and then kind of just like skyrocketed my career and led me to play here at Oshiega, which is very exciting and cool.
How does it feel to be playing at Oshiega now?
Really crazy and wild. Like, I was shocked that I got the offer to do it. I was like, whoa, they want me to perform? So that was cool. And I had a blast. Like, I think I'm just getting more and more comfortable on stage. So, like, I'm at a good place in my performance, performing career, that I'm able to like do it at Oshiega.
Yeah.
So it was fun.
Yeah, yeah. So you were just talking about your social media activities.
Mm-hmm.
So since your TikTok blowing up is like pretty crazy.
Yeah.
It must be hard to deal with like being in the public face out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Did you like deal with that?
Yeah, there was a lot more opinions coming through, which was hard. And also a lot of unknowns. Like, I was like, I signed with this label and I didn't really even know what that meant for me at the time, which maybe I probably shouldn't have signed. It ended up being okay, and it was an okay deal, and they actually helped me a lot, which was great. So that was a whole other aspect of like going viral. And then also the come down of going viral and then going viral on these covers and then trying to do my original music was a really big like step. And also convincing people that I'm like good enough, I felt like I was doing a lot of that. Whereas now I'm not doing that as much. I'm just like releasing music because I love it and I love writing songs. So yeah, there's all those elements with it that are weird, but also the exciting elements that I kind of talked about before.
I was wondering, because you kind of blew out around the time of COVID.
Yeah.
So like, how was it coming out and then like having to play shows like in person first time?
Yeah, that's a funny kind of part of it too. Like, I had never really performed other than high school. Like, I wasn't a gigging musician because I was in school. Like, I wasn't really doing that. And in Milton, we don't really have places to do that. And so then, yeah, going to the spaces, going to in-person writing sessions, and then performing, yeah, live and in-person for people was so exciting. And, like, everything feels more tangible when you're actually, like, face-to-face with fans and people. So that was cool.
Speaking of performing live, what are some of your favorite songs to perform live?
Ooh. Today I have this unreleased song called Emma, and it's like kind of like a rock and roll song, and that was very, very fun to do today. Like, just the guitar tone in it, and the crowd was going crazy. Everyone was like, you know, doing the like rock hands. It's great. Yeah, that was great. And I always love performing Simply the Best. It's like one of my favorite moments in any of my sets.
Yeah, it's awesome. So you just spoke You just talked about your unreleased song called Emma.
Mm-hmm.
So you also just released a song called Crush very recently, and another single like back in April, Daydream.
Yes.
So are you planning on releasing an album, maybe?
Yeah.
Like, what do you have? What do you have cooking?
That's my plan. I'm really hoping that I get to do that. I mean, we have enough songs for one right now, and that's the goal. I think if it happens, it'll be next year for sure.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, no firm dates or anything, but yeah, I'm so excited about that. And just like building that collection of songs, expanding my sound, because like if you've heard Crush, it's a pop song. Like, it's like so different from my other stuff, but it's really exciting to do that because I'm still new to music, basically.
Yeah, that's super exciting.
I want to ask a bit about like growing up, because I think you grew up in like a musical family, yeah?
Yeah.
You'd say? A musical family. I was just wondering, like, what inspired you, or like what influenced you growing up, and then maybe like what you're into now, has it changed?
Yeah.
That type of thing.
Yeah. So I have this memory, and actually my song No Wonder was written about this trip, but I have this memory of me and my family, we drove out to Nova Scotia when I was around 9 years old, like in grade 3. And my brother showed us the band, you know, Mumford and Sons, the folk band. So he showed us them. And I was like, that was like my, I feel like that was like almost kind of like my little awakening to music and what it can do, because we were all in the van and we were like banging the seats to the beat of the song. And yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that was kind of one of the moments. And I think it was all little things like that throughout my childhood that just kind of like molded me into being just like a music lover. And that's my way of connecting with people. I always find, like, if I meet someone before the set, and then I perform, and then I talk to them after, I'm way more comfortable and, like, free to talk to them, because I feel like they, like, know me and saw me in the music on stage.
That's awesome. So, other than your, like, childhood influences, who are some of the artists that you're currently inspired by?
Ooh, there's so many. I would say, well, right now, I'm inspired by Chappell Roan, just with her boldness and, like, just like I feel like she's got this, she's just taking the world by the reins, and I just think that's so cool. And also just being like a drag queen, like she's just so awesome, so I really love her. And then I mean, Olivia Dean is another artist that's performing at Oshiega. She's been an inspiration. Ryan Beatty is another one of my favorite artists. Yeah, he's so good. And a lot of the new music that we're doing like comes from us talking about his music, and we're like, okay, how do we do that? But then we add other artists into it, like Lizzie McAlpine is another one of those artists that I've loved for years.
That's awesome. So being in Oshiega, who are you most excited to see? Well, you just mentioned Chappell Roan.
Yes, but I am definitely excited to see Chappell, because I want to do the Hot to Go to dance with everyone. Yes. Like I want to like be in that giant crowd doing the H-O-T-T.
Did you see the from Lollapalooza yesterday?
Yes,
everyone was doing it in the crowd.
It was crazy, and that crowd is like the
so
size
big.
Like Queen used to get. Like,
yeah,
that big.
But she wasn't this big when they booked. So
crazy.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I guess a lot of us in the radio world, or a lot of us that hang around the radio world, are musicians ourselves. Mm-hmm. So we're just asking. We kind of ask everyone, but just like advice for aspiring musicians or people coming up.
Yeah, I mean, I always still feel like I'm kind of aspiring and coming up, but I do try to like create these little pieces of advice that I keep to myself. Like I always say to myself, like, just keep going. And I know also online, like if you're a musician, you're sharing a music online, it can feel a little discouraging because the views go down, or a video you think is going to do really well doesn't do well. And one of the things I always say is just, like, just leave it up. Like, if it's something you're proud of, just put it out there. It's going to resonate with somebody. It's, like, someday. You're going to find someone. Then they're going to find people. Then they're going to find people. And it'll happen. It'll happen.
Nice advice. It's, like, very encouraging.
Good. I'm glad.
Is there anything else you'd like to add yourself?
No, I think I'm good.
You do have a tour coming up.
Oh, yes, we should add that. Thank you. I have a headline tour coming up in Europe and the UK. It's in the fall, so that'll be very exciting. And then I'm also playing Ottawa City Folk Fest. So if anyone here is...
You also have a Vancouver show coming up.
What,
no?
Do I? Oh, I'm opening for Donovan Woods. Yes, I am. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, Vancouver. So come on out to that.
Vancouver folks, make sure to check out.
Yes, check it out.
That's awesome. Okay. Well, that's all.
Awesome. Thank you so much. That's so sweet. You guys are so sweet.
Thank you for taking the time to talk to us.
Yeah, thank you.
Of course.
Hello. We're back.
Yeah.
Gong.
Thoughts? We're question back. Mark.
Big.
My thoughts on this later.
Okay.
No, later? I'm just kidding.
Not now.
I'm just kidding.
Okay. Big thank you to Billie Ann for giving us her time.
Yes.
Yeah.
A real G. I don't know why I said that, but thank you. Thank you for letting us interview you.
Okay. Next up.
Who's next? Miss Milano?
Miss Milano.
We had a long conversation with Miss Milano, but we're gonna play Just One Thing by Miss Milano off their record, Beyond the Uncanny Valley, which came out last year. So we're gonna play that song and then get into the interview. So strap yourself in. It's a good one. First I'm gonna play two little ads though, but enjoy.
Enjoy.
Bye.
Royal Otis, live in concert to the PNE Forum in Vancouver on October 22nd. Fresh off the heels of their debut album, Prats in Pain, and the viral cover of Murder on the Dance Floor for Triple J's Like a Virgin, don't miss the Australian duo on their biggest tour yet. Royal Otis, Glory to Glory Fall Tour. Tickets are on sale now at ticketleader.ca. TicketLeader.ca.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Monday.
From 1 to 3 p.m.
Who is this guy?
My name's Chris Horrific.
You always wanted his character to be bigger than life.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is, without question, the greatest sports and entertainment event of all time. Be a part of it, Monday.
From 1 to 3 p.m.
The Parts Unknown Show on 101.9 CITR. Sometimes cosmoses collide.
Break your fingers!
Something impressive, wanna hang off me like a necklace. No competition, there's no contestant. Ask my name, he knows who the best is. Chilling with a biddy from Texas, excited to meet because we've been texting. Southern gentleman, no to respect him. Met at a show and kept the connection. Got introduced to our exes, trying to get a line like a solar plexus. Hop out the Lexus, then get to neck and say he like me cause I'm energetic. Said I like him cause that wallet stays stretched and Visa gets swept. I get the message, panty get wet and we get protected. Make him beg for him, hit the dog play fetch. What's next? Pick one guess, oh yes, relieve my stress with good sex. Look him in the eye, say I must confess. You're just the right size, got a bit of a stretch. Watch your mouth, read my lips. Wanna know how, gotta get like miss. Make him go crazy, throw one fist. Heavyweight in the corner, standing at 5'6".
We are CITR 101.9, and we're here with
Miss Milano
to do a little interview. My name is Jay.
My name is Yasna.
And how are you feeling today, being at Oshiega?
Oh, I feel excellent and incredible.
Awesome.
How was your set? How did your set go?
My set was really fun. There was like a good crowd. People were hiding under the tree because it was so hot, which, like, you know, you want people, like, I was like, come here. And they were like, mm-mm. And so I was like, damn. But, you know, it was good. The crowd was really good. People were dancing. People knew the words and shit. Like, yeah, it was so sick. It was so much fun. Like, I don't know. I love Montreal. I love playing in Montreal.
Awesome. I had a question about, like, your influences. Like, yeah. I really like Detroit house and, like, footwork and stuff, too. So I was wondering, like, typically a lot of those genres tend to get, like, I don't know, they get, like, distributed elsewhere.
Yeah.
And a lot of the black and queer artists that, like, created them kind of get, like, left behind.
Yeah.
So I was wondering, like, how you feel about that and how you feel about, like, bringing it back and, like, bringing respect to the name, kind of.
I think it's, like, black musical history is so important because so many of these genres get stolen and then just attributed to other people. You know, like, it's, as a kid, like, you find out that rock music was actually started by black people and it's like, what? Like, you know, they're not teaching you that kind of shit for the most part. They're not, like, putting a face to it. They're not saying, like, Little Richard started rock music. Well, you know, there's, like, Sister Loretta Tharpe and, like, all these other people that influenced him to start rock music, but it's, like, people don't know any of that stuff. It's even worse for electronic music. Like, I remember finding out that Felix the House Cat was black and it blowing the fuck out of my mind. I was like, oh, sorry, can I swear?
You're good. Yeah,
okay.
Of course.
Okay. Okay. Of course. So, oh, shit.
It's okay.
I found out Felix the House Cat was black. And, like, I started listening to him because he was on, like, Midnight Club, the video game. Like, that's how I got into, like, house music or, like, a part of it. And so, like, yeah, it's like you aren't told that, like, these artists are black. The influence is black. Yeah, you're just, like, it's not important to anyone to, like, make sure people know that these artists are black. And it's important to me because it changes your entire relationship with the art when you know where it comes from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah.
Okay. How did you get involved in the ballroom scene in Toronto?
I've been obsessed with ballroom since I was, like, 14, 15, probably. I mean, I started watching Drag Race when I was, like, maybe, like, 12 or 13. And then after that, like, they, on Drag Race, like, the early seasons, they're, like, watch Paris is Burning. Like, the reason that there are drag pageants in this way is because of Paris is Burning. And so I watched Paris is Burning, and I was, like, oh, my God, this is incredible. Like, this is incredible. But then to make it, like, modern, I started watching, like, battle clips on YouTube. Of balls, like, at the time.
Like
current balls. Yeah. I started watching battle clips on YouTube, and I started getting into those and getting into the personalities in the ballroom scene, like MC Deborah, who is a commentator, who made me want to be a commentator.
Okay.
And so I was seeing these people do their thing. I'm seeing, like, how a ball works. I'm seeing, like, just the energy and, like, the shade and, like, the drama that goes into this whole production, and I'm like, I want a piece. And so I had to, like, I moved to Toronto. I was like, are there balls? And I remember my friend being like, not really, like, kind of, but not really. This was a while ago. And then recently the scene has, like, kind of exploded and, like, gotten bigger. There's, like, big houses now. There's houses with, like, a lot of members. It's just, like, yeah, it's basically just, like, seeing all these queer people, like, do their thing and it being, like, so watching people vogue, you're throwing your ground on the body like that, and, like, you're not dead, you know what I mean? It's other dancers watch voguers. I know this now, but, like, other dancers watch voguers and they're like, I don't know how you're doing that. It's such a hard style of dance. If you have never vogued, go take a voguing class near you. It is fucking hard. Like, it is hard to do. It's hard to get your body to look like that. And it's all about posing. It's all about posing and holding poses. And so to get your body to be able to hold a picture pose in any type of movement, it's hard. It's a really hard dance. Anyways, watching people Vogue and watching just like the whole thing was like so magical to me, and I saw so much of myself in it. I was like, I have to find a way to be a part of this. A friend brought me to a ball. Someone there was like, they called the face category. Someone there was like, you should walk face. And I was like, really? And she was like, yes, walk face. And then I got too shy, so I didn't do it. But then afterwards, I was talking to my friends who were in the scene, and they were like, oh, yeah, face for Siriano. You should walk face for Siriano. And then they brought me to a house practice. And then from there, I just kind of, like, kept coming back to house practices. And, you know, you go to a house practice, the house will sees if they like you, and they see if they like, if you fit in with the house. And then you'll kind of, like, get asked to, like, come to retreats, and you'll get asked to, like, come on house trips. And, like, you'll get asked to, like, walk a ball. Like, you'll walk as a 007 for, like, a 007 is a free agent.
Yeah.
You'll walk as a free agent for, like, two balls. And then they'll make an announcement. And they'll be, like, the newest member of the house and da-da-da. They want to see how you do in a ball. They want to see if you, like, can kiki with everyone, fit in with everyone. They want to see if you, like, have what it takes to, like, get ready for a ball because it's so much work and energy. They put you through the test. You pass the test. You get in the house. You have a family now, you know? Yeah, that's another thing that really drew me to ballroom is, like, the family aspect, too. You know, we're all, like, from varied backgrounds, especially in Toronto, in New York, like, in the States, it's, like, blacker, but Toronto is, like, a very mixed crowd. It's still very black.
Afro-Caribbean.
Yeah, it's still very black and very Afro-Caribbean. There's a lot of, like, you know, refugees from Bahamas and stuff. Yeah. Like, we come to these spaces because to find family. So many of us get kicked out of our homes or, like, have all this rough stuff happening to us, literally having to flee their countries to, like, come to live in Canada because they will get hate crimed and get killed. You know, there's, like, Anastasia, who is on Drag Race, she is part of the ballroom scene, and she, you know, got shot up for being gay in Bahamas. And so it's, like, it creates this family for people who just don't have family otherwise, and that is also, like, a very beautiful part of ballroom that I love so much.
That's awesome. Yeah. It's great to hear that, like, Paris is burning. It seems like everyone I talk to, it's just, like, it's their awakening, kind of.
Yeah, it was the first time. I mean, I'm sure it's more saturated now, but at the time, it was the first time I'd ever seen black queer people like that, or, like, queer people of color.
It was the first time I'd seen it, too.
Yeah.
It was, like, shocking, but, like, welcome.
Yeah, it's, like, depending on where you live, you know. I'm sure if you live in, like, the state somewhere, you're more used to it, but, like, I was like, oh, this exists. This exists, and I love it, and I feel it inside me, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I know you like having, like, no genre.
Yeah.
And I really like that. Like, I like not, I don't know, I guess in most things, like, not confining yourself to one genre, just, like, kind of doing whatever.
Yeah.
But I was wondering, like, how you feel about that, and if it's, like, if or, like, why it's so important to you.
I just think it's, like, it's more of, like, a defiance and, like, an egotistical thing where I'm, like, no one can tell me what to do. I don't care if, like, nobody wants to hear 8 different genres on one album. I'm going to do it because that's what I feel like doing. And if you like it, you like it. And if you don't like it, you don't like it. And I don't give a fuck. Like, it's, like, yeah, like, I want to make house music. I want to make 808 punk. I want to make jungle. I want to make Detroit techno. I want to do all of this. And so why am I stopping myself from doing that just because, like, someone, like, people might not get it? They might get one part of it. And I always knew that going into it. I was like, okay, you might get one part of this, but, like, that one part is for you, you know? And then I love being able to bring together, like, people from all over. My shows look like what they look like, and I think it's the only thing that looks like that. You know, there's like old school hip hop heads that like me because I'm like a technical rapper. There's like young, sexy, like, party people who like love electronic music and love raving. There's like people from the ballroom scene who are coming because they love No Shade and because they love that house music, you know? And then there are people who just love, like, queer art. And then there are people who just love rap music. And it's just, like, a mix of, like, everybody and anybody you could like think of, you know. And that's what I love about, that's another thing I love about just doing whatever. It's like, yeah, it kind of just draws in anybody and also people who are down for whatever.
Yeah,
you know, it's like you might like this one thing, but you know I do all this other stuff, and you're just down. You're just down. You're along for the ride.
Like,
and you're
open-minded.
Yeah, open-minded and just down for whatever. You know? Yeah. I love that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Not to sound like cliche or anything, but your song "No Shade," I wanna live by that song. I want that song to be my life anthem. Like, it's so good. Every time I'm like feeling a little like insecure or something, I'm like, we're listening to "No Shade," and then all of a sudden, like, my mood's all lifted up. It's so good.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course. So speaking of like your creative process, how do you get out of a creative block? Like, do you just like force yourself to work through it? Like,
it depends on like why I'm getting myself out of the block. Like, if I'm getting myself out of the block because I have to, because something's due, then it's like, you just gotta make anything, you know. You might not even love it, but you just gotta do it, you know. Like, the album has to come out at this time, you need to get the masters in at this time, that song has to get done. Yeah. So it's like, whatever. If it's like, I don't got anything due, I'm chilling, but I can't make anything, you just gotta wait for, I don't know what anybody's spiritual beliefs are. You just gotta wait for whatever force there is that you believe in to just drop something on you. Like, it's like, you can't, like...
Don't force it.
No, you can't. Like, still make stuff and whatever, but I feel like actually getting out of a rut, it's like, you just have to kind of let it dissipate. Some magical shit might happen to you that completely changes your life, you know? And changes how you make art. And you gotta let it. So it's like just getting out of the way and just like being like, fuck, well, I guess I don't want to make anything right now. What else I can do? What else can I do? You know, like, there's gotta be something else I can do. And just do that instead. Or like, I don't know. That's my process, at least. I'm like, there's always something that like just kind of like kicks everything over.
And it doesn't have to be music.
Yeah, the tower just like crumbles in and I'm like, oh, wait. The sky, like, there's the sky. I'm not trapped in this building anymore. Yeah. Wait, yeah. So yeah.
So speaking of like albums and stuff, you just released an album like in October.
Yeah.
But do you have any plans for like releasing a new album, another single, or anything? Anything on the back burners?
I am working on music right now as we speak. I'm planning my third album right now as we speak. I'm working on a side project right now as we speak that sounds completely different from Miss Milano. I'm still doing vocals on it, but it's different. It's a little more club ready. It's a little harder. It's a little more of my punk roots, because that's like another scene that I was a part of, was the punk scene. And so like, as an observer, you know, I'm not going to sit here and pretend I was in bands, because I wasn't. As an observer and an enjoyer and a goer and a participator, okay? But, you know, that is leaning more into the experimental stuff that I like, and louder, harder, just like, what else? What else do I got going on? Yeah, so I'll do DJ sets. Anyway, I won't spill everything.
Okay.
But I got stuff going on, and you should keep paying attention, you know? Yeah.
I was wondering about just like, I grew up in Vancouver.
Yes.
I know you were born in Edmonton,
yes.
Moved. So I was wondering how like growing up as a queer person and then having a relationship with music, how that was kind of, or lack of.
Oh,
because
yeah.
I know,
just being like isolated.
Yeah, it's really isolating. But then you find your like group of people sometimes.
Yeah.
But I feel like we intersect a lot. Like, there's so many different things. Like you said, there's like house music, there's like punk, there's like everything.
Yeah.
So like, how do you find your people, or how was it finding your people?
I think in Edmonton it was like, I was doing things that already kind of drew those kinds of people. So like, I worked at American Apparel. And so my work people became my friend group. Like, we were just all into the same shit. That's what drew us all to that place, you know? And then I worked at Urban Outfitters right after that. We were all those kinds of people were working at that place, so we all started hanging out, and we all started, like, that is, like, primarily where I found people that were like me. I was not finding people that were like me in, like, high school and shit. Like, I was finding it as an adult, you know? Like, in high school, I was really the only person that was like me around. Like, I was the lone wolf for real. Not like I didn't have friends, but, like, I was the only person who, now I walk in with my friend group now, or, like, even, like, when I was working at American Apparel, it's like we all look like we should be hanging out with each other, you know? Yeah. We all look like friends. We look like friends. In high school, it wasn't like that for me. It was like I was me and everybody else was everybody else. And like they liked me and I liked them, but they just didn't like, they just didn't understand like what I was doing, you know? They just didn't get it. I was on Tumblr, like I was like, you know, like I had a blog and like I was like talking about astrology on Tumblr and like trying to go viral and stuff. And they just like didn't like, get it, like they kind of got it, but they didn't, weren't fully like, they didn't get it, you know? But now I think it's just doing shit that you love, doing shit that you love or that you like, even, you know? It's not like I loved American Apparel, but I was like, this company's cool, like, yeah, I want to work there. And then I met other people who were also cool and also wanted to work there, you know? And it's just like, if you do shit that, if you go to shows that you like and hang out in the smoke pit for a bit, you will make a friend. If you need a lighter, you will make a friend. You know what I mean? They might not be like exactly like you, but they're a friend, and you can like hang out with them and get to know them, and it'll be cool. So like, just go out, just do shit that you like, basically. Yeah.
Awesome. Is that it?
Yeah, I think that's it. But
not everything.
Yeah.
Yay! You did it.
Yeah,
anything else you'd like to add yourself?
Free Palestine, free Sudan, free Congo. Free Cuba from the sanctions, and free it all. Join an org, get involved, read literature, hit the streets, be safe, learn how to fight, because I'm sick of seeing fucking videos of people not fighting. Fascists, girl, hit him. Anyways, get involved, go out. I'm doing the same. If we all do it, we can do whatever we want. Period.
Awesome. That's great.
Thank you so much.
Hello, hello. We're back.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
I mean, it's like we never left.
It's like we never left.
We were on the other side of the country, but now I'm like,
but now we're back. Oh, thanks. Thanks for doing the sound. It's like treacherous. I don't think any of us can actually.
What show are we listening to?
We're listening to Spit in Your Ear, Music Collective. You just heard an interview with Miss Milano that we did.
The lovely, lovely Miss Milano.
And they were very, very nice.
Yeah.
And we had
thank you for giving us your time.
Yes. A long conversation with Miss Milano. Everything is falling right now.
Oh my God.
A lot's happening right now. So what I think we should do is move on to No Waves, who we also interviewed. This is our last interview today.
Yeah.
They're from Montreal. They were really cool too.
Yeah. It was like they were around our age, which was like crazy to see someone like our age be performing at like the big stage at Oceaga.
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah, and also fair warning, during this interview there's some noise in the background because Chapel Roan was playing and the crowd was very, very loud. So if you hear any noise, it's Chapel's fault, but that's okay. So, but we're going to play a song first. We're going to play Missing All by No Waves. And then we're going to play the interview. So enjoy this song. I'm going to play a quick ad though before, but then enjoy the song and then the interview. Goodbye.
It's summer in Vancouver and the days are heating up. It's important to drink water and take steps to protect your health. You can cool down at a misting station with downtown locations such as Oppenheimer Park, Pigeon Park, Victory Square, and Cathedral Square, as well as cooling centers which include Coal Harbor Community Center, Carnegie Community Center, and Evelyn Saller Center. To find more locations, search cooling centers in your browser, and Vancouver.ca has spaces with air-conditioned seating, water, and access to washrooms available all around the city. Stay cool and stay safe. Knock knock. Guess who? MRG Live coming right back at you. This time with a whole new list of upcoming live shows by your favorite artists. Hear this. Marika Hackman, Faye Webster, Empress of, Peter Cat Recording Co., and The Rare Occasions are a few of the artists MRG Live is bringing to you. Follow at MRG Live Official on Instagram to stay tuned with all the artists performing near you.
Hey, we're here at Osiego with...
No Waves.
What are your names?
Oh, I'm Angel, and I play guitar.
I'm Sam.
And I'm Sai, the bassist.
And we're here, I'm Jay.
I'm Yasna.
And we're going to ask them some questions.
Yeah, so first of all, how did you guys meet? Like, how did your band form?
Sai and I have known each other since elementary school, and Sam and I since high school, and both of them, I met them in drama classes. Yeah. So, yeah, drama class, yeah. Basically.
Hey, drama class. Sign up to your nearest drama club, like, yeah. Do that.
Start a band.
I was playing a bunch of the Tony Hawk American Skate Land on my DS, and Holiday by Green Day was in the soundtrack, and I, like, texted them about that, being like, yo, do you fuck with this album? And I sent them American Idiot, and then was like, yo, yeah, I fuck with that. And then that's how we became friends.
Yeah. And I think for me, it was just like, Angel was a big fan of like Green Day back then. And he played a song that my parents used to play, Wake Me Up When September Ends, back in the Philippines. And I was like really small, like 5-6 years old. So I was like, yo, what the fuck is that song? And that's how we connected on music.
So Green Day.
So you'll see them tonight?
Yeah, my ultimate goal for tonight is to get on stage with Billy Joe Armstrong and play Knowledge.
Yeah. You gonna try to go for it?
I'm gonna try to go for it. Yeah, I think it's happening. I think it's happening.
Well, I want to ask you, like, about your first live show. Like, what do you remember from it?
It was cold as fuck out. It was like the middle of the winter.
I wasn't there.
So I wasn't there for that one, but it was for like, it was back in 2019 when the
climate strikes
were happening and the protests and all that shit. And we played for one of those protests in like March on like spring break, and it was like the coldest I've ever been in my life. It was so cold.
It was like,
and we were playing
show
outside.
Yeah.
And afterwards I ran inside and it was the coldest I've ever been. So first show.
Yeah, like I heard it was really hard to play because like everyone's fingers were like so like frozen.
It was like hard
cold
to move, so it,
yeah,
was,
it was
so cold. It was so cold.
Well, at least you were playing the drum. You were like, oh yeah, I'm heating myself up, you know.
Yeah, but like barely, dude. It was so fucking cold. It was ridiculous.
Okay.
But a lot of like the like playing shows where you're not really supposed to play a show.
Yeah.
And on the bridge and churches and or launch party for first EP was in like a dense rehearsal space where everybody had to take off their shoes.
Yeah.
And like,
second one was in our second launch party was in
a thrift store
yeah, like on here in Montreal, and it was pretty crazy too. So DIY shit for life.
Going from that to playing like at the same festival as Green Day, how does it feel to like have come this far?
It's
diabolical.
Yeah.
Diabolical. Yeah.
Diabolical.
It feels nuts. Like everything about today is so fucking crazy, and it's a bit hard to get over, but
yeah, it just feels like a fever dream. Like this, like I'm not sure how we got here. Like, yeah. I mean, like, I don't know. It's just like so unbelievable that it's like I'm literally playing in the same show as Green Day, which is wild.
I don't know. I've been working maintenance at the festivals like in Osiaga for the past like 4 or 5 years. So today it's really weird because I feel like I'm at work, but I'm in all these places. I'm not like, I feel like I'm supposed to be working right now. So it's I have my work uniform today. So no, I work at the other festivals, but not Osiaga. I wanted to, but you know. I wasn't punk enough, unfortunately.
So I guess this probably counts, but other than this, what have been some of the most memorable moments in your musical career?
Ooh, yeah, that's a good question.
Playing with NoFX was pretty nuts. We opened for NoFX in 2022.
Oh, NoFX.
Yeah, and that was insane.
Yeah, but I feel like it's this quite literally the same like feeling I'm feeling right now. Like,
Honestly, all the DIY like outdoor shows we've made, every single year we try to throw like a big outdoor free show in the summer, and those are always like the ones that we're most stoked about because we work really hard on booking them themselves, finding a cool artist to do the flyer, and just like everything about it, we're like involved, and that's really, I don't know, we love doing DIY stuff, so that those are the shows that were always more memorable, and playing outside is so much fun, you know.
I was wondering too, because we have a DIY scene in Vancouver, but it's like, I was wondering how it was like growing up, like going to DIY shows and then like actually forming a band, because
I mean, they're so intertwined, they're so together. Being in a band and kind of, well, I mean, when we started we were like 14 15 16, so like no one wants to book you when you're that young, at least back in the day. No one wanted to book us. It was super hard to find shows to play, so we just had to book our own shows and our own DIY stuff, and that's, it became a part of our identity, but originally it was because that was all we could do. Like, we booked our own shows because no one else wanted to book us, and like all our friends were just underage because we were underage and we had nowhere else to go. We couldn't get into bars, we couldn't get into all this stuff, so we did it ourselves. And then
and even like when we could get in a bar, it took a while to kind of get that like image of, oh, just these kids that are loud and do music and actually have like a place in the whole, in the bigger music scene, I guess, or community.
So
definitely the DIY and the all ages scene has always been like what's made us being in a band possible, and you know, just going to our friend shows and being connected with that, because it's all, you know, like it's all that we could really go to. And like, it's definitely been crazy because there's a lot of things that like I grew up going to a lot of shows, like a lot of like the Motland shows and stuff like that from here. And I don't know, it's been a crazy ride. There's a lot of things that I would just daydream of doing all day when I was a kid and like in high school and stuff like that, and getting to do that is a really cool like privilege, and it's a and I'm really happy to be able to do that and to be able to share our music with people.
It took a while for people to start taking us seriously, like that didn't happen until we were like a bit older, and
because I know like a lot of like the venue stuff, like age stuff and just like cost, a lot of people can't go to stuff.
Yeah.
Especially, I don't know, especially in Vancouver, but probably here too, probably every major city. Yeah, so I was wondering like how you think, because there's a lot more like pay what you can type of things going on now. And like all ages shows, as you said, like you try to always have all ages shows or something like that. So do you think it's going to expand like the community already more?
I feel like with like the initiatives of like other bands, because I've been seeing a lot of like a fair amount of like outdoor shows, a lot of all ages shows. I think that like we've come a long way from what we used to be a couple years back, like as like a music community where we're more inclusive 100%. About like people with ages. But that could be just my impression, though.
Well, I think it overall, like I don't know, I really noticed like after COVID there's been this whole like just explosion of younger bands and younger people wanting to pick up instruments and start bands. Like when we were in high school, that like wasn't cool, you know, it was lame and it was weird
for being in a band in high school. It's I don't know, it was super whack and fucked up, and I think it's cool that now everyone's starting a band and picking up fucking guitars and doing their thing and, you know, writing songs.
Yeah, and we're really lucky that about that, like it's so many new bands have, and younger bands, like back when we first started there weren't many younger bands, so we were always stuck playing with like old people that really didn't take us seriously or want to play with us. And now it's really cool because I see all these younger bands like Conflit Majeur, fucking General Chaos. They're like the same age as when we started. And they play shows like every month. There's cool venues like Sala Rosa, Soterena, the Van Horn Underpass that you've probably seen pictures of. So I think for the younger bands, it's a great time to be in Montreal and to start a band. You know, everybody should just play an instrument, start a band, and yeah, it's great.
Awesome. They thought you guys were lame for being in a band but not in drama class.
I mean,
well,
they thought they were lame for having being a band but not for being in drama class.
Oh yeah.
So we went to like a drama school-ish. Yeah. Yeah. So they knew that drama was a thing and that people did that. But I don't know. I don't know why people were so weird about bands and stuff. I think it was just like outdated. There wasn't that whole like Stranger Things and like whole 80s like revival things. So it was just like, I don't know, ahead of our time, I guess. But I don't know, it's definitely helped us a lot after COVID that it's like cool to be in a band and stuff, and a lot of younger people have interest in, you know, in their band, and and it's important to have, you know, a younger, I mean, people our age and a younger crowd that's interested in our music, because that's gonna,
that's what keeps it going,
and
the next generation of
yeah
musicians.
I think the scene's in good hands right now.
Yeah, like we're, you know, we're part of the newer generation, but there's already like the newer generation already like fucking rocking and doing cool shit, and that's amazing. Like the kids are okay. That's something that we always say, you know.
Yeah, the kids are doing
all right. Band music, guitar music is doing better than like ever.
Kids, like, we're 20. I'm 21, but you know the kids are all right. I guess. I don't know what to say.
So, speaking of generations, who are like some of the artists that you're inspired by?
I know Green Day.
Green Day, yeah.
Skrillex.
Blink.
Yeah, Blink 182 for sure. A lot of the local stuff. Cobb.
I love Ween.
Ween. Jet Sam. Denzel Curry.
Yeah, Denzel Curry's Curry. Here. I want to get a selfie with him. I want to get a selfie with Denzel Curry.
Katy Perry.
Katy Perry is sick. I love Lady Gaga too.
Peso Pluma, Natanael Cano, Junior H, Chinito Pacas, a lot of the Mexican scene.
Something Batman?
Chicano Batman.
Yeah.
We listen to a lot of music, so we're just gonna say a thousand artists.
It's like all over the place. Yeah.
Alice Gas and the 909 Crew. They're sick.
Oh, what's the
Alice Gas? Yeah.
Alice Gas.
I could go on, but I think,
just music.
music,
big music. Shout out to Nets Bend. Yo. I love Nets Bend. I'm a huge Nets Bend fan. People always think it's weird when I say that, but I'm a big Nets Bend fan. And Xavier Sobeys.
I was wondering how you like figure out, you know, when is the right time to record something. Oh, like songs, like how they evolve over time when you're playing them live for like years, and then when you finally want to record them, like how do you decide like now's the right time?
That's a good question.
I don't know.
Our songs
sometimes they're like four like years old. Like,
yeah,
years old.
Our songs are always changing, and then
even
I think
once you record it.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's not so much about when the songs feel ready. It's more just like where we're at, and we're like, okay, now we're ready to record. So we're gonna take these songs how they are in this moment after all this evolving and changing, and that's gonna be what they are, and we don't second guess it or think too hard about it.
Yeah, but definitely, like, I don't know, like you mentioned like the pandemic and not playing live for a while. That was a thing that like we had a whole album basically ready like the week that everything like closed down, you know. We were gonna hit the studio.
We were supposed to record March 22nd, 2020.
Yeah. No, that was wild.
Yeah. So, you know, that was like crazy.
Released until like a year after.
And
June.
We ended up just those songs kept evolving, and after COVID, we're like, you know, we've been playing these songs. People know them from the shows, like the singing and stuff.
Yeah.
And
we kind of narrowed it down, and then it became the EP.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our EP that we released in November, of last year. That was kind of it. It was songs from COVID and that people, well, before COVID, that people knew and stuff. And we just kind of try to rework them, reamp them, make them more relevant to, like, where we were at in our life. And, yeah, see, and also how we sounded live, you know? So, yeah, it was, it's always changing, and we like that. We try to always change it up a bit.
Awesome. Yeah, so what are some of your long-term goals as a band? Because I feel like you've already achieved, like, so much, and you're so young, but if you, like...
Looking forward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are, like, some of the things you're looking forward to in your career?
I want to meet Nardwuar.
Nardwuar?
I want to meet Nardwuar, and...
If you ever have a show in Vancouver, just come.
Really? Oh my God. Okay. Hell yeah. I want to. Yeah, we should play Vancouver. That'd be really sick.
Get free Vans at
some
show.
Free Vans at some point. Nice. Well, we're getting free Birkenstocks today, which is really
we'll
sick.
We'll get sponsored by Dickies.
One of my biggest dreams is to get to go back home to play music. Oh, so yeah, go go to Mexico, go to the Philippines.
Go in Mexico, 100%.
Yeah. I mean, none of us are born in Montreal, or none of us are born in Canada, and we all want to go back and play shows where we were born. Yeah. So like Mexico, the Philippines, and the States, just go and play shows there. Yeah. I think that's really important for us.
Yeah definitely go on tour, senior places, and like just have be able to share what we're about and our music in different places, you know.
Mexico, Philippines, and the States. Book us.
Yo, get out of Jollibees. Oh my God. I'm still we went to Toronto like 3 weeks ago, and we had Jollibees, and goddamn. So sorry, I just had to mention it. That shit was fire.
Yeah. I just had one more question. It was, what's your favorite song to play live?
For each of you, I guess.
My favorite song to play live that we have is probably S.O.
Yeah, it's not out yet, but it's called S.O.
S.O., yeah. It's a song about a...
It's a song that's kind of about our friend who passed away, and it's about, like, violence and street violence, kind of, because that's how he died in a way, and it's important to us. Another one of my favorites is called Nothing Ever.
For me, it's got to be Roadkill or...
Roadkill is really fun, frozen. Too. Yeah, these are all... None of these are out.
These are all
but, yeah.
Released.
Okay, cool. Awesome. Well, I'm excited to hear them once you get them. I hope you come to Vancouver one day. Yeah, and thanks for talking with us.
Thanks.
Of course. Thanks. Awesome.
Hello. That was the interview with No Waves. Sorry we didn't get the chance to play the song, but...
Make sure you check them out. They're great.
Check them out. And up next is Exploding Head Movies with GAC. So enjoy.
Feel free to check that out too.